Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local wrestling scene in and around Georgia, as well as interviews with newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, being joined by my new co-host, the Jagged Edge. How are you tonight, Jagged?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm tired. I had a long weekend, but I'm glad to be here doing Georgia Wrestling Now. It looks like it's just going to be me and you tonight, as John the Body Johnson has a daughter who is not feeling well. So he let me know earlier today that he may or may not be calling in.
Well, I hope she's doing better. I hope he's doing the right thing. You got to take care of the kids. So we'll make it through the night without him, but we're looking forward to having him next week, I'm sure.
That's right. But we do have a great guest tonight. We're going to be talking to Michael Bennett of Ring of Honor. He is currently their Champion of Love, which, of course, is the old Briscoe world title, redecorated
okay.
with pink fur and have you seen this title belt, Jagged?
No, I haven't seen it yet, but it's made me want to go and look for it now that you said it's got pink fur on it.
Yeah, well, his now wife, Maria Kanellis, usually wears it to the ring, and of course it is a title that he didn't actually win. It was just one of those situations where he ended up with the custom title from when Briscoe was the champion. And, of course, they've had an ongoing feud. He and the rest of the kingdom have had this ongoing feud with the Briscoes. So it's an act of mockery to take the camouflage title belt with the shotgun shell snaps and all of that, all of this redneck imagery, and redecorate it with pink fur and things of that nature. But it is fitting, because the reason we're talking to him tonight is because Ring of Honor's Winter Warriors Tour will be in Atlanta next month, February 21st, right after Valentine's Day. So I'm sure he will have plenty of Valentine's-like celebration or debauchery to tell us about. You know, they released a DVD of his bachelor party. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either, unfortunately.
I stay away from videotaping bachelor parties or being videotaped at bachelor parties, because a lot of the things that can happen, you don't want them to come out.
Right. Well, this one was an official Ring of Honor release, so I would assume they were not... They didn't document anything that they didn't want out there.
Is old Larry Goodman calling in tonight?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him since last Monday, I guess. So he calls in when he can.
Right.
Which is usually.
What time is Mr. Bennett calling?
He's calling in at 10 after 7. So
okay.
We've got a few minutes. Also, I failed to mention last week, we did mention that Deep Southern Championship Wrestling was running, but I forgot that it was the show with Mason Ryan taking on Cyrus in the main event. So I hope that was well attended.
It was. Woody posted some pictures, and it looked like the place was packed out. And when I looked at the results of the show, Osiris pulled out one over on Mason Ryan.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that is an impressive victory for him, because Mason Ryan is one of the biggest people I've ever seen. I saw him wrestle at one of Ron Gossett's shows last year, and he wrestled Johnny Swinger, who's not a small guy himself, and he was much taller and much wider, and
Cyrus is not
muscle.
Not a small fella himself now. Cyrus is a pretty big guy.
Yeah, Cyrus is a very large guy.
Yes, so that had to literally be a battle of monsters in that ring, and I hope Woody had it had made sure that ring was able to take care of all of that weight and all that mass in that ring, because that was a battle of monsters.
Indeed. Did you do any in-ring battle this weekend?
Well, yeah, over the weekend I did a stint at NWA Atlanta. Was in triple threat match with the upgrade Brian Kane and Andy Anderson on Saturday night. Andy snuck one in on us. I had Brian Kane pinned, and Andy pulled me out of the ring and hit me with a forearm. And old Tyson Dean, of course, as he jumps in the ring to grab the pin, Tyson Dean grabbed me by my leg. So, you know, we will be seeing each other again somewhere down the line, I hope. Pay back, Andy. Pay back, Tyson. There's payback on the way.
Well, I look forward to seeing that. I didn't know you were even going to be part of that show.
Yeah, I was part of that show. And on Sunday, I went down, did a show, New Generation Pro Wrestling, up in Macon. And, of course, Old Jagged. You know, we always say what Old Jagged wants, Old Jagged gets. And I tell him when I come, I'm coming for the gold. That's the only purpose of me coming. So I left there, the new generation pro wrestling champion. So
you are their champion.
I am their champion.
That was the first event for that, right? And
that was
Roger
their
Davidson?
First event. Yes, that was their first event. I had a pretty decent, you know, for the first event. I think it went well. He drew quite well, close to 100, if not 110, 115 people. First venue, pretty decent card he put together. You know, a lot of entertainment on the card. You know, has his first show hiccups, but everything, you know, we were able to pull everything out. But it was highlighted by Justin Overstreet defending his belt, that AIWF world title, against Cameron Cade and Stitch. So they actually pulled off a great match for the main event itself. That was a triple threat also.
Okay. Well, Roger Davis has been talked about on this show and elsewhere. What was the atmosphere like there, and what was it like working there? Is he the booker and the promoter?
He's the promoter. And I don't know the you know, Old Jagged wasn't around when all of the hoopla went on with Mr. Davis and however that went down. I do know that, you know, as a man, when I walked in the locker room and when he pulled the guys together and he explained the story and he owned up to the things that he did, and like in his own words, that was the bad Hollywood. And I own up to it, and he admitted to what was the worst thing that he could have possibly done as a promoter. He owned up to it, and he thanked the guys for coming out and trusting him, and he made it clear to them that Hollywood was gone and it's not going to ever come back up. And I thought, you know, being a man, that to be able to own up to your faults, own up to the things that you've done wrong, and to put it out there on the table and not hide anything, to put it out there on the table, to just agree, hey, I was wrong, this is what I did, and I did this, and I said this, which was the worst thing I could have ever done. The atmosphere was a relaxed, laid back, no tension. If you know, we worry about, as workers, we worry about our money, you know, because we get paid, you know, we want to get paid to do what we do. And I have to say to Mr. Davis that when the guys walked into the arena, that their money was there waiting on them then. So they were paid before the show. No one had to wait to after the show. No one had to take any less than what they agreed to. You were paid when you walked in.
Well, that's definitely good to hear, because that is not the reputation that he had, from what
I
heard.
Right.
All right.
That's
well,
true.
Do you watch a lot of Ring of Honor? Are you very familiar with
Mike
Bennett?
I have recently. I tape it when it comes on here in Atlanta, and I always get around to watching it somewhere on a Sunday afternoon or Sunday nights. I will watch the show. So I have been watching the shows lately. Prior to the Ring of Honor that I would get would be basically through word of mouth from listening to different people, but I've actually been able to watch the product itself now that they are on television here in Atlanta.
And have you seen a lot of Michael Bennett's work there? since you started watching
several. That was one of the things that when you told me that was he was going to be the guest, I wanted to go and take a look, so that way I know exactly who it is that I'm speaking with. But yes, I have, and I'm very impressed by his work. I didn't know of the pink title though. That's going to be interesting to talk about.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing his thoughts on that.
So, did you get out and enjoy any wrestling?
Thy kingdom come.
Michael Bennett has now joined us. Michael, you're on with Jonathan Williams and the Jagged Edge. How are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're great.
Doing pretty well.
Glad to have you on.
Good. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it a lot.
We were talking a few minutes ago about the upcoming show in Atlanta, and I think the Jagged Edge is a little intrigued by you are the champion of love currently for Ring of Honor, and he wants to talk to you more about the belt.
Yes, the title of love. Me and we're co-holders, me and Maria, so it's a dual belt.
So that explains the pink fur.
Yes, the pink fur was a creation of Maria herself, but I kind of took it over because it matched a lot of my tights. So I was taking it to any show that I did. And, you know, it's funny. It was kind of like a joke when we first started doing it, and then people actually started to dig it. So I've actually kind of enjoyed it. I took it over to Japan with me, and they thought it was cool over there. So it's been taken on a story of its own.
Well, that's true. And you know the saying, if it's not broke, we're not trying to fix it. So, yeah, you keep taking it with you.
That's right. Exactly.
Well, as I was mentioning a moment ago, your show here in Atlanta is going to be right after Valentine's Day. So are you going to be defending the title of love, that show, or do you know yet?
You know, it's a good possibility. I've only defended it once, and that was against Romantic Touch. So I would say that I feel like it should become tradition that every Valentine's Day it gets defended in Only Field Right.
And who better to challenge for it than the Romantic Touch?
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
Well, I saw that you, of course, ODB is now part of Ring of Honor, and she has aligned herself with the Briscoes, and you guys, the Kingdom, including Maria Kanellis, are going to be taking them on soon. I don't think it's the Atlanta show, though, right? It's one before that.
Yeah, that's correct. It'll be the Briscoes and ODB versus the Kingdom and Maria, and that'll actually be in Philly at the old ECW arena.
When is the last time Maria was actually in the ring for competition?
It's been a while. Yeah, she hasn't, I want to say it's been almost 6 months, maybe 8 months. I know she did some work. She's done a couple of shows for Michael Bryan and Northeast Wrestling. Honestly, the last time I think she stepped foot in a Ring of Honor ring was when me and her wrestled Sarah Del Rey and Eddie Edwards, which was 2 years ago, maybe.
So she's looking forward to this ring return then.
Oh, she's very excited. Once she found out it was happening, she's been training hard. She's been mentally preparing for it. I know she's excited to get back in there. And it's always fun with the Ring of Honor fans because they put so much pressure on you to live up to such high standards that the company sets that I know Marie is putting that pressure on herself to really outdo herself, improve herself.
Well, have you personally been, giving her any tips or helping her with her training and things like that?
Oh yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's funny when you're in we're married and we're both in wrestling, so it's kind of one of those things where you never stop talking about professional wrestling. It kind of just it overtakes your entire life just because that's what our careers are. So I would say 90% of the time we're talking, we're giving each other tips, and we're helping each other out. And anytime before shows, I'm always helping her out and talking to her about what I think she should do or what she could do better. And she always does the same for me. I tell people she's been the biggest influence in my wrestling career because she's so smart and intelligent when it comes to everything in wrestling. I mean, not about like the moves and stuff like that, but mindsets and psychology. And she's really helped me up my game big time.
Now, not only is that a plus for your wrestling career, but that's also a plus for your marriage because you have something in common that you both share, you both love, and that's something that you guys can do together, whether it's just talking, whether it's training, or whether it's actually out in the ring working with each other together.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you hit the nail on the head. It's one of those things where you hear so many horror stories about professional wrestling, but we've actually, coupled in professional wrestling, but we've actually embraced it, and we talk about wrestling, but on the same time we don't let it consume our lives, and we both respect each other. I mean, one of the biggest things when we first started dating was everyone was like, well, does it ever bother you that she sees so much success and you're still kind of on the rise? And I was like, no, absolutely not. Like, first of all, she's gorgeous, so why would I care about how much success she sees? And second of all, I understand. I knew my place in wrestling. She knew her place, and we just fed and worked off each other. Like, I think it's one of those things where relationships in wrestling can work if you're humble enough and you respect your partner and what they've done and what they're going to do.
And that's true. And I think the key to that was what you said was humble. If you stay humble and you understand that in the long run, in the relationship phase, it's more about my relationship here than anything else that's going on. So I'm going to make sure that home is taken care of, and then together we can go out and take care of the rest of what we need to take care of.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And it's funny because me and Maria always say this together. When people would say, does it bother you? I would say, no, if she's successful, I'm successful. We're married. So we are the same person now. We live together. Her money goes to my money. My money goes to her money. So if she's successful or I'm successful, we're both successful. And
we're
I
both
think that's
successful.
The key.
And I
yeah,
agree.
Absolutely.
That is the key.
Well, it's good that you're not the jealous type, because I can see that being problematic, being married to someone like that.
Yeah, no, I'm far from the jealous type. Maybe to a fault, but, I let things roll off my back.
What did you think, I guess it was when you were in Japan not long ago, they were just doing close-ups of her... her backside during the match, from what I've heard.
It's funny. I get a kick out of that because people would ask me, and I always say, well, now the world gets to see what I get to stare at every day. So good on them.
And that's the way to handle that. That is
exactly.
Absolutely, in my personal opinion, the way to handle that. Now you get to see what I enjoy every day.
Yeah, exactly, 100%. And people say that, and I go, at the end of the night, I get to go back to our house with her, so, stare all you want.
What was it like wrestling in Japan, and how many times have you done that?
This past time was my first tour. We did 11 shows in 14 days. Which was absolutely awesome. The time before that was my first time going over there, and me and Cole and Maria went over and wrestled at the end of the G1 Climax, and then this last time, me, Maria, and Matt Taven went over there, and we were in the World Tag League, and it's literally my favorite place to go wrestle. Those guys over there are so talented, from the Bullet Club to Tanahashi to Nakamura. It's to Okada. I mean, I got to wrestle all those guys, and it's just saying those names and knowing that I was in the ring. I mean, I've wrestled Tanahashi 3 different times now, and he's, in my eyes, the greatest professional wrestler in the world. So the fact that I got to get in there, and I got to get in there with Jushin Liger and who I watched growing up, it's just words honestly can't express how excited I am every time I go over there and how blessed. I mean, I would be sitting on the tour bus driving through the hills of Japan being like, wow, I'm in Japan on a tour bus with guys like Carl Anderson. And it's just crazy. It's crazy to think, because it was one of those places where I was always told I would never go because I didn't fit that style. And now I'm
right.
I'm almost positive we're going over again. I'd love to go over again. And I've already gone over twice. So it's like, I really can't. It's like, pinch yourself. You're dreaming.
Now that you brought that up, I do have a question, and it's one of those typical questions that I know you field every time you do an interview, but when you made the statement, watching growing up, at some point in all of our lives, there was a moment that where we decided that this is what we wanted to do, because, of course, we were fans of it. We had to be in order to watch it growing up to know that we would like to try it. So who was that person, or what particular moment was it that happened with you to make you decide, hey, I'm going to be a wrestler?
You know, it's funny because I tell people the exact same story, because there was one moment, and I believe I was either 13 or 14 years old, and my parents had gotten me tickets to go see Monday Night Raw at the Worcester Centrum Center in Massachusetts. And it was the Monday Night Raw where Mick Foley won the title for the very first time. And I just remember that reaction he got. I was sitting in the floor seats. The reaction he got, when Stone Cold came out and cost the match,
right.
that was the biggest reaction I've ever heard in my entire life. I still watch it back on YouTube and get goosebumps. And then watching Foley was one of my biggest idols growing up, just because me and him, I feel like me and him had very similar personalities. We're very laid back, very goofy, always kind of like the clown in the room. And that's how I always viewed it. And then when he won the title, I was like, holy crap, I didn't see that coming. And the feeling in the building, it was one of those feelings where I was like, I want to experience what Foley's going through right now. And at that point, I remember driving home, and I looked at my dad, and I'm like, well, Dad, I'm going to be a professional wrestler. And he was like, oh, okay, sure, whatever. And then, I was 14. I started wrestling when I was 16. So 2 years later, I was like, hey, Dad, I'm still going to be a pro wrestler. Thank God for my parents and being patient, because they signed me up and drove me to wrestling. So, yeah, that was the exact – I remember that moment vividly to this day.
Cool. So when did you actually break into the business?
I started when I was I want to say it was 2001, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, I was a junior in high school. I was 16 years old, and I made a deal with my parents. They said, if you pursue, if you have a backup plan, so if you pursue an education after high school, then we will support you, we will sign you up, we will drive you where you need to be. And I said, sure. I lived up to my end. I went to college after high school, and they signed me up at 16. So...
Hey, that's a good deal, because you said you and Foley had a lot of things in common, and it's the same thing. He's got his college degree, you have yours, and you kept going.
Exactly, and that I thank my parents for it every day, because, I'm actually thinking about going back to school now, because Maria went back to school, and I'm kind of getting the bug where I'm like, you know what, it might be kind of fun. I mean, I have my career wrestling, but I'd love to do more. I'm so into politics and stuff like that I'd love to just expand my horizon. So I thank my parents every day for not only giving me the courage to follow my dream, but giving me the smarts to be like, you know what, wrestling, it's a long shot, so you do need a backup plan.
Right. Now, would that be the advice that you would give some of the younger guys coming up now? I know, chase your dreams, and we were always told growing up to chase our dreams. You know, if you don't have a dream, you're not living. But in that, when you make a plan, you also have to make a plan B in case something happens in plan A. Typical example, you have the high school kids that play football, and their whole life is football, but they make another plan outside of football, and then they tear up their knee, and then that's a done deal.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where not only is it good to have a backup plan, and this I mentioned before that, like, I'm actually looking into going back to school because it makes you more versatile. Pro wrestling isn't just about the big burly guy in the ring now. It's really about who you are as a person. What do you offer? I mean, if your dreams and aspirations are get to WWE, they're looking for people that have everything. I mean, if you can speak three different languages, then they can throw you to three different countries and you can be an asset to them. So it's not only important to further your education, because now you can, oh, well, if wrestling doesn't pan out, which for a lot of people, unfortunately, it doesn't, but you're also making yourself a very hot commodity, because if you think WWE is going to say, all right, well, you have a great look, and you can wrestle in the ring, that's wonderful. What else can you offer us? Oh, you speak three different languages. Oh, you have your bachelor's degree and whatever. Oh, that, well, this person will be a great representation for our company. So that would be 100% the advice I would give people. Not only further education, but do as much as you possibly can. Be, you know, if you can take a class in this, or you can be educated in that, or you can take a language in this, do it. Do everything you can, and then not only will you, you know, be a great worker, but you'll be very versatile to them as well.
Right, right. You'll be a great person.
Exactly.
Well, it's get back to you, how you got in the business. Where did you train, and who did you learn from the most? Who was your trainer?
You know, it's funny. I 100% started training with Brutal Bob Evans. It's funny because he used to come to the ring with me, and a lot of people thought it was just a gimmick and a storyline. But no, me and Bob have been good friends, and he was my trainer. He took a 16-year-old boy and was like, yeah, I'll take a chance on him to be a professional wrestler. I started training with him. He's taught me so much. He never gets the credit he deserves for how talented of a performer and wrestler he is. And not only that, but how many people he's helped in the New England area. If you look at Ring of Honor roster right now, it's loaded with guys from Massachusetts and New England. And believe it or not, Bob has had a hand in teaching every single one of those people that have come through Ring of Honor or are there now. And Bob has been so influential in my career. But also someone who I mention all the time is the late Steve Bradley. He was huge in my career. I idolized him. I base a lot of what I do. He was in development for WWE forever. At one point, he was going back and forth between OVW and Heartland Wrestling up until he got released. Then he came back to New Hampshire, and I would drive an hour and a half to New Hampshire and do his trainings, and then I would do his shows for WFA on the weekend. But he's someone who, you know, WWE really just missed the boat on him, and he's someone that I idolize. I write Mofo on my wrist tape every time I go out there, because, you know, it's more in remembrance of him, and it just gives me that attitude that I need to be the best professional wrestler I can be.
Well, it's I wanted to ask some more about the pink fur title that you have currently. Just, you know, for those who may not have been watching Ring of Honor when that all happened, or just to refresh people's memories, how did you obtain that title? Because that was the world title that Briscoe wore, and of course,
correct,
you guys did, and you did some customization to it.
Yeah, it's seen many owners, actually. When Adam Cole first won the world title, Jay Briscoe was the world champion at the time, but he had gotten hurt. So they had a tournament, and Adam Cole won it, and they awarded Adam Cole the world title. Well, when Jay Briscoe came back, he came back with his title, which was this camouflage belt with his face on the front, and he was claiming to be the real world champ. Well, they ended up battling over it up until they had a ladder wars match. Cole ended up winning both titles, and in the process, after he won, he handed the title over to Matt Hardy, who was one of the founding members of the Kingdom. And Matt
right.
Hardy then put his face on the title, and he turned it into the Iconic title. And then Matt would carry around the Iconic title. And then after Matt had left Ring of Honor, he presented the title to Maria, and Maria and myself, we decorated it, made it pretty, added fur and butterflies to it, and we titled it the Title of Love. So that is the story and the backstory of the Title of Love.
Well, you said that there's a good possibility you'll be defending it here in Atlanta. Do you have any idea who that title defense might be against, or what you and Maria will be doing at this event?
I don't 100% know what we were doing. I don't know if we will be defending it. I know 100% we will be there, and the Title of Love will be in attendance. And I do know that I will be with the Kingdom. I will be with Matt Taven, and I will be with Maria, and I will be with Adam Cole. So the Kingdom will be in attendance in Atlanta. So that'll be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward. I've never wrestled in Atlanta, so I'm looking forward to coming to Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask, actually, because the only other time Ring of Honor has been here was during WrestleMania weekend.
Right.
3 years ago, I believe.
Yeah.
And I didn't think you were part of those events. But
yeah, unfortunately, it was. I was very new with the company, and unfortunately, I didn't make those events, so I was a little bummed about it. But, you know, it's been like 3 years now, and things have changed, so I'm super excited to be coming.
Now, Mr. Bennett, well, I have a question for you. There are a lot of guys here that they're looking forward or trying, that I know that I've spoken with, that would like an opportunity to work in with for the Ring of Honor. And what would you tell them as far as how to go about getting that opportunity or even getting looked at in such a way of possibly being invited to come down and participate?
Honestly, the biggest thing, Ring of Honor does these tryout camps that are usually 2 or 3 days, and they do them almost every 3 months. And all you have to do is sign up. You have to pay a fee. I think it's like $200. But it is the best camp, I can tell you. I mean, honestly, I know people are like, well, it's a money grab, and it's not worth it. I mean, if you're 100% serious about it, that's how I got a job. That's how I got signed. I went to one of these camps. They offered me a contract. Tommaso Ciampa, the same thing. Matt Caven, the same thing. Hansen, the same thing. All these guys have come through and gone to these camps. So if you think it's just a joke, it's 100% not. If you're serious about your career, and if you're serious about Ring of Honor, you do this. I mean, you can send in tapes to the Ring of Honor office. You can send in your 8x10s, and maybe you'll get looked at. If you come to one of these camps, 100% you will get looked at. And wrestling's just different now. You have to pay a little money to pay your dues nowadays. And if you're serious, I was serious. I'd been wrestling 8 years before I went to one of these camps. Went to one of these camps, I got picked up. And since Ring of Honor, I've seen the most success in my professional wrestling career. So 100% do these camps. They have another one coming up, I think, within the next month. In the school, it's in Philadelphia. It's the best experience. I mean, I've helped at the camps. Michael Elgin, Jay Lethal, the Briscoes, Roderick Strong, Bob Evans is always there, Truth Martini, and Delirious, the head trainer, the head booker over at Ring of Honor. He runs them. Kevin Kelly, who's also involved in the booking, runs them. So you can't go wrong. If it sounds like I'm passionate about these camps, I am, because they're not only can you go and get looked at, but you learn so much from going to them.
No, I like your passion, because you make the statement, and you made the statement that I believe in. If you're 100% sure that this is what you want to do, then you're going to do whatever you need to do to get there. At least put forth the effort. You got to make that decision within yourself. I'm going to give 100%, and if it happens, it happens. You know, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. And just because I get shot down the first time, it doesn't mean that if I come back again that I won't get shot. You know, if I improve and if they see improvement, then I may get something the second time that I didn't get the first time from.
And that's 100% right. And, you know, I think it's funny because a lot of guys, they mumble and they grumble and they're like, well, I shouldn't have to pay money to go to this camp. But you pay money to go to college so you can get a job out of college. So why wouldn't you invest, if you're serious about pro wrestling, why wouldn't you invest in that? And like you said, if you go the first time, not only are you going to learn, but let's say you don't, they say, well, not this time, but maybe next time. Let me just tell you, someone like Hansen, this is his first year in Ring of Honor, I think he went to either 2 or 3 of the camps. And now, this past year, he probably had the biggest breakout year of any Ring of Honor performer. He had awesome matches with AJ Styles and Roderick Strong, and he's just absolutely on fire. So if you think that it's just a money grab, like I said, look at guys like him, Tommaso, myself, Matt Caven. I mean, me and Matt Caven both went to Japan last year because we did the Ring of Honor camp, because we got signed, and now we started working with Ring of Honor. So it works.
Thank you. Again, like I said, I wanted to ask, and I wanted to ask someone that went through that route, the camps, to get there, to let them, you know, to give the guys the encouragement of knowing that there's a possibility. There's always a possibility, and depending on how much you're willing to put in, there's something on the other side that could be the reward, but you just have to be 100% sold on it.
Absolutely, and I know for a fact that that's where Ring of Honor looks for talent.
Yeah, Matt Sells, who has been on the show many times, including, I believe, about a month ago, was on our show here. He's been to several of those, and he is starting to see some success. that, or at least get some matches. He's had a few last year, and I know he's hoping to have one here in Atlanta.
Absolutely. He's another guy who's gone to a bunch, and he works his tail off.
Yeah. Have you? I don't think you've ever wrestled him, though, right?
I haven't been in the ring with him, no, but I was at one of the camps that he was at, and he's a hell of a talent. Like I said, he's a guy who I've seen go to those camps. He shows up to Ring of Honor shows and helps out. He's someone who's doing it the right way, and he'll see something soon, just because you can't work that hard and be that talented and not see something break for you. So I'd be surprised if something in the next year doesn't really spark up for him.
Well, he's one of a few Georgia-based or Southeast-based, at least, wrestlers that have been having some opportunities there in Ring of Honor. Moose, of course, is the biggest success so far, but Corey Hollis has also had a few matches. Mike Posey, of course, AJ Styles is from Georgia, but he was one of the originals. But
right.
What do you think of, you know, all the newer Georgia talent that has been working for Ring of Honor over the past year or so?
I mean, honestly, if you're working for Ring of Honor, then you have to be good. It's just, there's no way around it. It's the best wrestling company in the world. And so whenever I see those guys, I mean, I've known a lot of them for a while. And so it's just really cool to see these guys getting the opportunity. I've been on the indies for so long that anytime someone who I've known on the indies before Ring of Honor I see get opportunities, I can't help but smile, because I just know the struggle that these guys go through. It's not an easy profession. It's going the road of the independent way. It's not easy. And anytime I see someone get enough, I always make it a point. It's funny, because whenever I see guys at Ring of Honor and they're doing dark matches, right before they go out, I'll just kind of go over and try to give them a little pep talk, kind of crack a joke, try to make them laugh, calm down a little, because I know what they're going through. And that was one of the biggest things. When I first ever did my dark match for WWE, the one person who came over to me and talked to me was Mick Foley. And he just came over and he said, "Hey, just go do what you do and don't worry about it." And I just remember, like, he didn't know me from a hole in the wall. And he was a star at that point. And he came over and said that to me. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. So up from that point on at Ring of Honor, I always try to just go calm the guys down and say, "Hey, go have fun. Go do what you do. You're here for a reason." And it's just awesome to see guys get that opportunity.
So Mick Foley had no idea that he was your inspiration? It was just a coincidence that he was the guy that came up to you?
At that moment, it was just a coincidence. He does now, and I've got to wrestle on a couple shows with him. I did a signing. I actually had a big breakout moment. Me and Maria were at a signing in Rhode Island, and he came up. He said hi to Maria, and I was going to go say hi to him again, and he said, "Hi, Mike," so he knew me by name. And I looked at Maria, and I go, "I've made it in professional wrestling."
I think at that moment I would have been like, he knows my name?
Yeah. I looked at Maria, and I was all giddy, and she was like, "You're an idiot."
Well, when you said Ring of Honor is the best wrestling company in the world, why do you think that is?
On it, we have the best locker room. I will fight anyone who says we don't. We have 100% the best locker room. We have a mix of guys. Everyone's passionate. You have guys like myself, who's different from guys like Tommaso Ciampa, and Tommaso Ciampa is different from guys like AJ Styles, and AJ Styles is different from guys like the Briscoes. It's just, there's so many characters, and not only are there characters in Ring of Honor, but everyone can go. When that camera turns on and you want to see the best professional wrestling match, you will see it from top to bottom. There's no one in that company that I would say, put me in the ring with and I can't have the best match of the night with. It's just top to bottom, the best wrestling. The only other locker room I've ever seen like that is New Japan Pro Wrestling, and that's why I love going over there. And I think it's so cool that we have such a close relationship with them, Ring of Honor and New Japan, because we're so similar in aspects of that, where we have the best wrestling company, they have the best wrestling. It's so cool to see that connection. Like I said, I think we literally have the best locker room in the world.
You can't beat that. That means a lot. Now, outside of Japan, have you worked anywhere outside of the United States, with the exception of Japan?
Yeah, I've gone to the UK, and I've worked for Preston City Wrestling, which is one of my favorite places. We're actually going over there again, I believe, in April, and they have a pretty good connection with Ring of Honor, but that crowd over there is so awesome. Me and Madman Manson and Maria and Danny Hope, we had a tag match. We introduced slow-mo wrestling. It was fantastic. It was so much fun. I love going over. The fans over there are so rowdy and crazy that they remind me a lot of the Ring of Honor fans. So going over there for Preston City Wrestling in the UK is 100% one of my favorite places to go.
Cool. Who would you say would be your most favorite person to work in the ring? I know you say you have a great locker room. You can pull out the best matches with anybody they throw you in there with. But, you know, sometimes we have a favorite that we just, you know, without a doubt, we know that even on our worst night, we're going to pull out a great match. And who would that be for you?
You know, in Ring of Honor, for me and Jay Briscoe have incredible chemistry. Every time I step foot in the ring with him, I always feel like we do something special out there. And I think because our characters are so different and we offer such a different style, but when we're in there, I feel like it's like Batman versus the Joker. It's so much fun. I feel like me and him, and we've only had like 10 to 12 minute matches. I feel like if we were given like 30, 40 minutes, we could absolutely rock the house. We just have really good, and for some strange reason, and no one's fault, I always end up bleeding in the matches, and I don't know why. I think for some reason, we just beat the crap out of each other. We get to the back, we're like, that was awesome, thanks for beating the crap out of me. And he's like, oh, you got a little blood. I'm like, yeah, I know, it's usual. It's one of those things where it's like, beat the crap out of each other, apologize later.
Yeah.
Well, now that the Bullet Club is wrestling as the Bullet Club in Ring of Honor, I thought they're going to be part of some of the other upcoming shows between now and the show in February in Atlanta. What are the odds of the Kingdom crossing paths with the Bullet Club?
I think there are very good odds. It's funny because when me and Taven did the World Tag League, we actually had a match against Carl and Doc. So I think the Kingdom runs Ring of Honor. So if the Bullet Club's coming in and they're thinking of, you know, stomping on our grounds, they have the Kingdom to deal with. So I would put a lot of money on the fact that you will see some sort of altercation between the Kingdom and the Bullet Club.
But it hasn't happened yet, right? You mentioned that you've wrestled them individually with Japan, but there hasn't been a tag team match or anything, right?
No, only in Japan. We haven't had one in Ring of Honor yet, so.
Was it a 3-on-3 match in Japan?
No, it was me and Taven versus Carl and Doc. So we haven't had 3-on-3 yet.
Okay. Sorry, Jagged, you were asking a question?
No problem. No, I didn't mean to intrude. Mr. Bennett, with the Ring of Honor fans, now I know any arena that you go into, you have rabid fans, but which arena would you say you would enjoy the most in going in and performing in front?
There's so many. Nashville is always up there. Milwaukee is one of the best crowds we have. But I personally, I love going to New York only because they hate me so much there, and I hate New York just that, you know, right in return. I'm a Boston guy. So whenever I can go there and I can get on the microphone and just poop all over New York City and they hate me and I hate them, it's just there's no love lost whatsoever. So anytime I can go there, New York will never love me. I will never love them. And it's just magic anytime I go there.
Does the fact that TNA has started running in the same venue that Ring of Honor usually uses, is that affecting anything for Ring of Honor, or do you know?
Honestly, I have no idea. It's unfortunate. I love that building. I don't know if Ring of Honor is going back. I wasn't at Final Battle because I was in Japan at the time, but I know where they were running. Where they ran Final Battle was a great building. I'd love to go back to the Hammerstein. It's so historical. But, you know, I have no idea. They don't fill me in. That's out of my pay grade.
Well, like I said, there are several Ring of Honor shows between now and February 21st. And I'm trying to remember who, you know, most of these, it just lists who's scheduled to appear there. But do you know who you'll be wrestling at any of these shows in Michigan and Ohio?
Those ones I don't know yet. The only show I know is that it's Philadelphia, and that's me, Maria, and Taven versus the Briscoes and ODB.
Right.
I know that's probably the biggest match we got leading up to Atlanta, so I'm excited. I think that'll be a lot of fun. I think the fans should definitely come out for that one.
And as well as the show here in Atlanta, they need to come out to that particular show, too, because if like you said, the Ring of Honor hasn't been here since WrestleMania 3 years ago. You know, don't miss out on the opportunity to see them live and in person when they come 3 years later, because they have so much talent.
Yeah, and I know because we haven't been there in a while, I know that Ring of Honor is going to stack the card. That's the rumor going around the locker room. I don't know exactly what the match. I think they've announced one match, and that's Bobby Fish versus AJ Styles, which is worth the price of admission alone. I don't know. I know they're going to stack the card. So I'm assuming whatever match I have, it's going to be a great match, because, like I said, they haven't been there in a while, and the card is going to be absolutely stacked.
And, of course, that's the last show before the 13th anniversary show in Las Vegas.
Right.
So I'm sure there'll be some big matches leading into is that a pay-per-view or just an iPay-per-view?
Nope, it's a pay-per-view. So, yeah, like you said, it's the last show before the pay-per-view. So it'll be big. A lot of things will be happening to build up to that show.
Well, is there anybody, we'll start with within Ring of Honor, is there anybody within Ring of Honor currently that you have not yet faced that you would like to?
Well, me personally, I'd love to face AJ Styles one-on-one. I think he's one of the best in the game going right now, so I'd love to get in there. But as far as me and Taven have been teaming up as of late, we want Red Dragon, because we want the Ring of Honor tag titles. So give us Red Dragon. We need those titles.
Well, that would be an awesome match, I'm sure. How about outside of Ring of Honor, or just, you know, what's your dream match if you could pick one?
Well, right now, I want to get back in the ring with Tanahashi. Wrestling him in New York was awesome, but I want to wrestle him again. I want to wrestle him in Japan one-on-one. To me, he's the best in the world. And, you know, he's got the world title over in New Japan. So I want Tanahashi. I think we've wrestled each other once, and I think the second time will be better.
When was that match that you had before?
That was last May in New York City when New Japan came over. We did two shows with them. We did one in Toronto, and then we did one in New York City. And I wrestled Tanahashi in New York City, and it was one of my favorite matches. He's just he's a class act all the way around. And like I said, I think he's the best in the world right now. So I wanna wrestle Tanahashi in Japan. That's where I want to go. I've wrestled him in the States. Now it's time for me to wrestle him in Japan.
Right. You mentioned that you currently are kind of more focused on the tag team stuff. Do you have a preference there? Do you prefer tagging or singles matches?
No, I've done my whole career as singles. I love singles. I'll always be a singles wrestler. But Matt Taven is someone who is honestly, he's one of my best friends. He officiated my wedding. So me and him have been friends for a long time. So being able to tag with him right now in Ring of Honor, it's so much fun, because we're literally like Jeff Daniels and Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber when we're out there. We're just the two biggest goofballs. We just have fun. We play off each other. We don't take wrestling seriously. We get yelled at all the time because we're cussing out there too much. So, it's such a blast being out there with him. So I'm hoping when we're in Atlanta we'll get to tag so you guys can see how ridiculously goofy we are.
How long have you guys been tagging with each other?
Honestly, just a couple months right now.
Okay.
We started right before our tour of Japan, and then we teamed maybe twice before we went over and teamed in Japan. So we really got to season ourselves over in Japan, so that was kind of cool.
Is the kingdom pretty stable right now, or is this something that you guys want to expand? Is there anyone else you might have your eye on to recruit?
You know, that's Maria's business. She's always looking. Right now, we're good, but I'm not going to say that we're not going to add another member, because who knows, Maria may be like, hey, we need so-and-so, and I'm not going to argue with her, and neither will Taven and Cole. So we're looking. We're always looking, but right now, we're solid. There's four of us. That's all we need right now.
Cool. Well, that's all the questions I have for you. Jagga, do you have anything else before we let
go? I just want to appreciate, I let you know that we appreciate you coming on and answering the questions so candidly. But, no, that's all that I have.
Awesome.
And for those interested, you can go to ROHWrestling.com, click on Live, and then click on Upcoming Events, and you'll see where you can buy tickets for the Atlanta show as well as all the other upcoming shows. This one's at the North Atlanta Trade Center in Norcross, just north of Atlanta, February 21st. Doors open at 6:30, and it looks like tickets are definitely still available, and they price ranges from $5 to $40. So, unless I'm looking at this wrong, it says row 5 is $5.
Get it up! But, like I said, it's the best pro wrestling money can buy right now. So, make sure you get there.
Make sure you get there.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again for coming on the show, and I'm definitely looking forward to seeing you here in Atlanta in just over about a month and a half now.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
You have a great night.
You too, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
That was fun. Jagga, did you happen to listen to the Adam Cole interview we did a month or so ago?
I you know what? I think I've picked up bits and pieces of it because I may have been doing something else, and I've called in. I think I called in and listened for a while, and I was about to ask at the time, but I didn't want to sound crazy. But I know that, you know, anyone's if you're working, you're looking to be at the top, and I know he's happy where he is, and he's pushing to become higher or the Ring of Honor heavyweight champion. I was just curious, and I was gonna ask, does he at one day want a match for the title? Which I'm quite sure he does, but I didn't know if that would have been a conflict with the world champion being in his stable.
You're talking about Michael Bennett or Adam Cole?
Yeah, Michael Bennett. But he's with Adam Cole in the Kingdom, am I correct?
Yeah. Yes, and I think it was sort of teased that was kind of a conflict not long ago. But then, you know, he kind of focused on the tag team stuff while
right.
Cole went after the world title. So it kind of right. is diffused for now. But, yeah, I don't know if, you know, Jay Briscoe is still the champion, right? Because Cole did not defeat him.
Did not defeat him. That's what I thought, yes.
So I'm sure the Kingdom would just be happy to have the title, but of course each individual within the Kingdom would like to be the person that brings it to the Kingdom.
Bring it to the Kingdom, yes.
So, yeah, I think, you know, I think he's focused on trying to get the tag titles, and Adam Cole is probably still the front runner for any world title shots there.
And you're going to get out and get to that show? You're going to get to the show on the 21st?
I am planning on being there, yeah. But it looks like, from what I've seen recently, the Briscoes have also showed an interest in regaining the tag titles. So there's a lot of possibilities there between each of those respective camps and the individual members of them.
Are you going to get out and get some wrestling in this weekend, Jonathan?
Well, I'm not sure. I wasn't able to go to anything this past weekend because I had other obligations. But there are some shows this weekend that look interesting. Are you wrestling this weekend?
Yes, I am. It's PCW show this weekend. We all be at PCW. Come on out and you see the PCW Heavyweight Champion Shane Marks. He's going to be there after the hour-long match with Jeter. He's going to be in the building. So we're going to invite everyone down to Porterdale, Georgia to see PCW on Saturday. I'm not sure whom else is wrestling or have shows this weekend. Do you know of anyone?
Saturday is a busy day for local wrestling. Friday, AWN is in Fort Valley, APW
okay.
is in Royston. But Saturday, Empire is in Rossville.
Woody's having a show?
I believe Woody, let's see. I'm looking at gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com where under upcoming events, Woody is... No, I don't think so.
Okay. You did say POW, Passionate Wrestling, is doing a show?
Yes, and it appears to be... Well, I guess the main event is Sean Hunter and Scott Cage versus Fry Daddy and Logan Creed. So
okay.
you're familiar with some of those people.
Yes.
There's a three-way female match, Aja Pereira, Tragedy Ann, and Dementia DeRose. Brett Yehi versus Strychnine, which I think that's only the second time that's ever happened. Stitch versus Professor Murdoch, so that looks like it's shaping up to be a good show. Down in Dublin, Georgia, Peach State Wrestling Alliance is having its second annual, what do they call it, Lethal Rumble?
Okay.
I believe it is. It's like a, you know, battle royal, and I think the winner gets
battle
a title
royal.
Shot.
All
yeah.
Right.
With usually, or, you know, in previous, I think it's the second year they've done it, but I know there were a lot of mystery entrants, and they kind of announced more entries as the date gets closer. So, currently, Ace Haven, Kevin Blue, Chris Spectra, are in that, but they also have Jimmy Ray versus Cal Matthews, which is worth the price of admission alone. Tyson Dean, who you have crossed paths with, will be defending his PWA Heritage Championship against Johnny Swinger, the former champion. And the Sevenfold Saints will be taking on Dusty McWilliams and Deion Johnson.
Okay.
So another good show on Saturday out in Carrollton. And Southern Pride Championship Wrestling is doing their show in Royston on Saturday.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Talked about that a couple weeks ago. A lot of big matches.
Yeah, AJ Steele giving Nigel Sherrod his rematch.
Right. That's one you probably have some interest in as the number one contender.
Yes, we want AJ to keep the belt, but right now we put that on the back burner just for a second because we got to take care of that Florida crew that's come through and decided they want to take over Georgia wrestling. So AJ and I have decided that until we get rid of that Florida crew, then we're not going to worry about. We're going to put our differences. You know, and the only differences that him and I have is that he's got something that Jagged Edge wants. So when he can either become a man and just give it to me. Or just give me the match and let me take it from him. Then AJ and I, you know, square as always. Nothing's going on. He just has something that old Jagged wants.
Right, but from a strategic standpoint, wouldn't you prefer if Nigel somehow defeats him and then you get your shot at Nigel, who is clearly not the same physicality.
It doesn't matter. Nigel and AJ, put them together, let them share the title, put them in there with the Jagged Edge, the result would be the same. The new Southern Fried Heavyweight Wrestling Champion will be the Jagged Edge. It doesn't matter to me, each one. That's peaches and pears to me. It doesn't matter.
All right. Well, we will see what happens there. I do not yet have anything confirmed as for next week's show for guests, but I'm sure it will be someone big, and we will announce it over the next few days. It'll be on gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com as well as wrestlingwithpopculture.com and on Facebook
Let's
and Twitter.
Have two
and
all. Guests next week.
Do you have someone in mind?
Somebody in mind. Let's have two guests next week.
Okay. You want
to first? I need to verify with them, and then run it by you, and then we'll announce it on next week.
Sounds good to me. You know, I used to do two guests each week, and then I felt like we just had to cram too much, and we couldn't really get in depth with anybody because we were doing shorter interviews with people. But we have 2 hours to fill. I usually cut it off around the 1 hour mark. So two guests next week. We'll do it.
Two guests next week. Let me make a couple of phone calls and see if they're available, and I'll run it by you, and you can announce it.
All right. Sounds good. And hopefully next week we will have the three host team once again. John Johnson, I hope your daughter is feeling better. I hope she's okay.
Yes.
And on that, I guess we're done, unless you have anything else, Jagged.
No. Just you can send Larry an email and tell him that if Jagged said it's okay for him to call in when I'm on the show. He doesn't have to stay away. And hopefully next week that Larry Goodman will grow a set and he'll call.
All right. Well, I'm sure Larry will hear that. If not, I will message him and let him know. But
all right. You have a good
one.
No problem.
Thank you, Jagged, and thanks again to Michael Bennett. And we'll be back next week with two be-announced guests.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.